So it's something like, they're the best worst friends. Best worst friends. Best worst friends. With Doug and Jeff.
Guys, welcome back to another episode of Best Worst Friends, episode 111, I think. Right?
Wow.
I'm Doug Koenig.
That's got to mean something, right? 111.
Isn't that like a lucky thing? Not like a,
I don't know, maybe.
Angel
I think Jack
number?
White loves it.
Is that what it's called?
Doug has made his return to this great nation.
Begrudgingly?
After his pilgrimage to white trash Mecca of Tampa, Florida.
You could not be more wrong. Tampa is absolutely fucking gorgeous. Like, there must be like sketchier parts of Florida, but
there must
Tampa
be.
Tampa is gorgeous. The people are fantastic. I never saw close to a fight. I never heard like a mean word said. And you know what? Another guy had like a good point. Because we were talking about this. I was like, yeah, everyone's so fucking nice. And he's like, do you think it's the guns? And I was like, I think it might be the guns.
It's
I think
not
it might
the
be
guns.
The fact that if you're mean to someone, they could just be fucking bah! Like they just pull it out and
No, it's not the guns.
I think it's a shared fear of everyone makes everyone nice. And I think that's honestly kind of good. I think that's kind of a good idea for society.
Do you think it might be because it's just beautiful weather always?
Dude, so beautiful. I had such a heartbreaking moment when I was back in Hamilton and I checked the weather app on my phone and it said 25 degrees Celsius for a second. I was like, because I hadn't been outside yet. I'm just in the fucking Jasemont here. And then it just reloads because I connected to the Wi-Fi and it changed to 2 degrees and snowing. And I was like, fuck, man. Fuck.
Yeah, do you think it might be that as opposed to the guns?
Yeah, the good weather would help.
I will. That being said, I was pretty happy holding the gun when we went shooting. God. I felt so happy.
Dude, the power. The absolute complete fucking power you have. But then the second something goes wrong with it, you feel like a baby because we don't know how to troubleshoot any of the issues.
Yeah, because you almost shot us.
Imagine if one of the issues that we constantly ran into with while we were shooting guns happened to us in a scenario where we're fighting for our lives, or say it's like a post-apocalyptic scenario and we have someone at gunpoint and then they go to make a move or something and we hit the trigger and the gun is jammed.
Yeah,
we like,
forgot to turn the safety off.
Neck! The guy slashes our throat while we're yelling for our friend to help.
Remember when you almost shot me?
Yes, I remember when I almost shot you, Tim.
I think about it quite a lot, actually.
Yeah, the gun was pointed downwards. It was a 22.
It was not pointed downward. It was not. That's why we all freaked the fuck out because you spun around. You're like, that was fun. And you just like pointed a gun at all of us in a row. And you're like, what? It's empty. And then Nick took it and shot the last bullet out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure wasn't empty. Man, you know what? After having flown
the closest
for the first
I've ever
time.
Been to dying.
Oh, well, that'll change. That'll change, Tim. But after I flew, I honestly don't really get the fear of flying. Flying is fucking sick, dude. Flying, there's only one moment of turbulence where I felt real fear, but like when the plane started, you know, it's taxiing along the runway when we're leaving Toronto. And I was like, you know, a little bit antsy because I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. I've never been in one of these things before. I've only seen them in movies. It feels real different. And then when it first started to accelerate and it's just going super fast, I just had the dumbest smile on my face. And I had a window seat for my first flight, which was sick. So I got to look out the window. Because on the way back, I got the aisle seat. And 10 minutes into the flight, the girl in the window seat just closed the thing, which is rude.
Selfish.
So now I'm just staring forward in the plane. Way more boring
than TVs?
What's going on out there. No, there were no TVs, but I had my phone and stuff.
How long is the flight?
3 hours.
Oh, that's not bad. Okay.
Yeah, it was a
But
bad
also,
at
one
all.
Terrifying moment in 3 hours is enough to be afraid of something.
But here's the terrifying moment for me was we hit a bit of turbulence on the way there. And when it's just like rocking and rattling, that doesn't bother me. But one of the bits of turbulence was just felt like a free fall. Felt like the plane just went just down a little bit.
It does that sometimes.
That scared me. That I felt my butthole going to my stomach. And then it came back out. But that was a completely terrifying moment.
hear about that whistleblower?
Yeah, I saw that a fucking day before I was about to get on a plane for the first time. Like in my YouTube algorithm, I was like, why is this popping up now? Why?
Yeah.
Why is this the time?
Because they fucking killed him, Doug, because he was blowing the whistle on Boeing after their fucking doors are flying off and their landing gears are like disintegrating into, I don't know what the fuck happened to landing gear. But
Jesus Christ.
Their planes are just all fucked. And then this guy was blowing the whistle about how they suck. And then they fucking shot him.
Did you ever watch the...
Alleged by me.
they shot him. Fucking for sure did it. Did you ever watch the the Last Week Tonight by John Oliver about like the train system?
Pilots just come in and just fucking... Oh. No, I did not see that thing about the train system.
Because it's all about how dangerous it is. And it's like one of those things, like the safety regulations that one person was talking about, how they used to have like a minute per car to check like wheels and all this stuff just quickly. And now it's down to like 5 seconds per car. So it's like, you're basically just jogging by, not even looking. And I guess sometimes trains are carrying enough like explosive chemicals that it's equivalent to the atomic bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. Just casually going through cities with no health regulations.
Just through the downtown of London, Ontario. Yeah. Through the bar district. Kids are jumping on.
Yeah, dude. It's fucked. Yeah, that I hated seeing that Boeing thing before I got on the plane, but I was just like, you know what? Who cares? What can I do about it?
Live. Maybe it's because you don't fear death. Maybe that's why.
The not fearing death really helped, I think. And you know what? When the plane landed in Florida, a bunch of people on the plane clapped. But when the plane landed back in Toronto, not one clap.
Yeah, don't fucking clap. Why are you clapping?
I didn't clap. But I think people are just like, yay, we made it. But I think mainly it was, yay, it's hot. Yay, the weather's good.
No one was excited to be back in Toronto.
It's just so mind-boggling to me that, because I've never done this before, to get into a thing. And then the thing takes you somewhere that's just completely different from where you came from. Like there's little geckos running around on the trees. Like that's like their little pest they have. And on the fences.
Squirrel is just geckos.
We didn't see any alligators though, which I was hoping for. And also terrified of seeing. Cause like, we were just gonna be trashed for 4 days. I didn't want to, you know, stumble upon an alligator and then be, you know, Steve Irwin-ing wrestling for my life.
I feel like drunk Doug would fuck with an alligator.
I would probably be too tempted.
Yeah.
I'd probably be too tempted. I would have to fuck with the alligator.
There'd be some alligator cartoon character that you're like, hey, buddy.
Yeah. Have you ever been to a professional sports game of any sort, like an NFL game, NHL game?
Been to Blue Jays games and a couple of Raptors games.
Okay, that's fair. That's the equivalent. Like this, I went to my first NHL game when I was.
Oh, nice! You saw the Panthers?
No, we saw the Lightning. Yeah, dude, it was so sick. We were up in the nosebleeds, which for hockey, I think probably for any sport actually is actually sick. Like it sounds bad in theory, but we could see the whole floor. You know, like we could see the whole ice. We could see everything that's going on. And yeah, you get it.
But, we saw the ice floor.
And I don't want to sit up
their
close.
Feet blades were going
what do you
so
need
fast.
To see like fucking pimples on this guy skating around? If anything, it makes me sad to be sitting close because I see how young everyone is. If I sit up top, I'm like, everyone here is a year older than me. I still have time.
Look at all of these 50-year-olds who achieved their dreams finally. Good for them.
When the Lightning score, which they won 6-3, so they scored a lot, which is sick. They have like these big electrical things in the air that shoot lightning bolts back and forth.
Oh, you know,
like those
nice.
Big like electric coils, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking unreal. Unreal celebration.
That's so
sick. Just to see sports played to that caliber. Cause I've only ever seen hockey, like if my friends were playing it, or like I went and saw a St. Thomas Stars game with my dad when I was back at St. Thomas in January. But
honestly, we will never be able to see the Leafs play.
Yeah.
No, all those, even people who go to the games are like, the atmosphere sucks. And people are like, yeah, because fans can't afford to buy tickets. All the tickets are owned by like banks and businesses and shit who just bring in people from out of town to go, and they don't fucking care.
That sucks, man. That sucks. Like, it's, have the fucking fans of the thing there. It always like makes it better.
Like, Billy Joel, have you heard what he does at his concerts?
No.
He doesn't sell the first two rows of his concerts.
Okay.
And then on the day of the show, he just takes people from the 500s, just a random group of people from the 500s, and puts them in the first two rows.
What a fucking boss move.
Yeah, Madison Square Garden. Just fucking, there you go.
Dude, that is unreal.
He's the fucking man.
That's who you want to be there. Like, imagine you're those guys, or you're Elton John, who's put a whole fucking lifetime into this career, and now your tickets are, like, so absurdly priced, and you're sitting there playing the piano, and it's just, like, a fucking rich person. Like, it's, like, a rich guy who kind of likes you, but he's rich, so he's there, and then it's, like, his bored wife on her phone. No one wants that. No one wants to play for that. You know what's crazy, too?
Madison Square Garden once a month.
That's fucking, that's absurd. Just to have like a monthly gig at Madison Square Gardens.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts.
Holy fuck. You know what? At the same stadium as we saw the Tampa Bay Lightning, a couple days later, we saw Segura. And it was truly mind-boggling to think, like, on Thursday we were here seeing about 30 of the most supreme athletes in this given field putting 110% of their livelihood onto the ice.
Yeah.
And then 2 days later, we saw a guy
just sleepwalk his way through his hour.
No, dude. He did great. I'm not going to say he didn't do great, but it's so funny to think of the dichotomy of who gets to perform here. And I mean, good for him that he gets to be like, I'm going to work at the same place as these athletes.
There's a great, I watched an interview with Louis C.K. I hadn't seen before. He's on Bobby Kelly's podcast like last year. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how after he performed at Madison Square Garden, he and Bobby Kelly like went to a Rangers game a couple of weeks later. And Lou was just sitting there like, I fucking performed for this. This is crazy.
Yeah. And it's like to see the atmosphere at that game and probably to think for Louis, like, no one did this.
Yeah. What was the atmosphere like at Tom Segura compared to the Tampa Bay Lightning?
A lot more laughs for sure, but
that's good.
Way less screaming, and I would say like less fun overall, just because an NHL game is like a fucking spectacle.
Yeah, it's the best. And you're allowed to talk to your friends.
You can talk to your friends, and like there's different shit going on. They do like a trivia. They have like a dumb thing come out. You see the mascot. They put the camera in the audience, like for the, you know, kiss cam or whatever, which I think is hilarious. I saw one the other day. This didn't happen at the game. I really wish it did, but it was one of those cams, but it was like people eating food, but they put it in reverse. So it's just all these people like pulling a full hot dog out of their mouth with their eyes wide open. Like, that's a great thing.
Really great bit.
Yeah. So fucking good. So fucking good.
But did you make it on the Jumbotron at all?
No, I didn't make it on the Jumbotron. And honestly, I didn't want to stand up and dance or anything because the seats were like pretty narrow and it was like hard enough to like stand up and down. Like,
you're worried
once I
they'll
got my
come
spot,
with you.
Yeah.
You should have just painted a big lightning bolt on your chest and taken your shirt off and danced around. Definitely would have made it on the Jumbotron.
That would have probably done. We briefly considered the idea of body paint. Like, I think Nick said it as a joke, and then another guy, like a half an hour later, was like, are we actually doing the body paint? And I was like, no, we're not doing the fucking
body paint. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, definitely. Ha, ha, ha. And one guy later, like, no, we could body paint. Like, if we wanted, we have the capabilities.
Yeah, dude, this was a crazy trip of firsts for me because it was my first time on a plane, first time in a different country, first NHL game, and we went and played golf for the first time.
Hey!
I've only ever played golf in... I've only ever played golf in Grand Theft Auto 5 and, like, mini golf.
How was golf?
I had a couple lucky shots at the start to the point where everyone's like, what the fuck? Like, how is he actually... do this. And then every drive after that was shit. But my short game is okay because it's essentially mini putt. again.
How is your short game? Have you ever golfed before?
Not just mini golf.
Like what were you shooting like on these holes?
Oh no! Say here's why I had fun is because we weren't tracking each person.
Oh, that we playing best ball.
Yeah, we played best ball with two teams.
Oh, smart.
Which is so much more. I would have probably had no fun and threw a temper tantrum if it was led up to going off my ball.
Yeah.
Because it would have just been seven guys talking shit about me with me doing nothing in return except for maybe chasing them around with my clubs.
Just be like, you're hitting the ball and be like, I will see you at the next hole.
But I love, you know what's nice about golf is that I can't think of another sport where you can just be casually getting fucking trashed.
Oh, yeah.
While you're doing
fucked
it.
Up. People, they drive, was there like a cart lady driving around?
There was no
beers?
Cart lady, unfortunately. I don't know if we came too late in the day or something. We just kind of did a trip back at one point and stocked up with some Arnie Palmies and
nice
hit the course again.
Nice casual golf course, sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you're just there, just getting so shit-faced. And then there's a part where it makes you better, and then there's a part where it makes you so much worse.
I drank so much. Honestly, drinking is probably the only thing that got me to sleep because I didn't have any weed. And the room I had at this Airbnb, because there was eight of us, which, you know, good on the guy who found this Airbnb because he said he was, like, really struggling to find an Airbnb that sleeps eight.
Yeah.
You know, without like someone had to be allotted to a couch. But so me and three other guys were in a room that was like kind of like a big hallway-ish thing at the back of the house. And it had two sets of bunk beds in it.
Nice.
So obviously I was on the top bunk. Just kidding.
No one was on the bottom.
I went on the bottom. And every guy in that room snored. Every guy in that room snored. So it's just like,
that's brutal.
None of their snores synced up. None synced up. So it's just constant different snores at all times. So I basically drink until I fall asleep. And then I wake up like 5 hours later and just be like, all right, well, this is my day now. And then you get up and you sober up for a couple hours. Then you start drinking again, baby.
Dougie on a bender.
Dude,
how are you feeling?
I feel better now having no drinks, you know. I feel like I'm slowly coming back to life from just pickling myself from the inside out. But one day we went to a beach too. And
I was going to ask, you had to go to a beach at some point in Florida.
We went to a beach. We're drinking there. And it's so funny. Like, you know, we're all drunk around this table and we're all trying to coyly let each other know when like a hot lady's walking by or like, you know, people are talking, want them to see. So people would just be doing like the clock directions, like 6 o'clock. But then every single person would do like check their 6 o'clock at the same time without knowing who they're referring to. So we probably all just look like morons, just like turning our heads the whole time. But
yeah, being so discreet is you all stare at a one lady in unison together.
Yeah, we think we're being cool and our tongues are out.
Yeah. Just all drunk, looking around like, where? Who is she?
I also, while I was in Florida, I went to a strip club and my girlfriend wasn't very happy about it. Not very happy. But I didn't get any lap dances as like a rule that she put in place, which
did
honestly, I wouldn't have got them anyway. Yeah, with no lap dance, I came.
Respect.
But her reasoning for this, which I'm just okay with not getting a lap dance because I just don't like strippers. Like, they're fucking mean to me. I don't mind looking at them because it's a lady and she has the parts I like. But every stripper I've ever interacted with has been rude to me. I remember getting a lap dance once and the stripper was like, this is just a job. Like, I'm just here for the money.
Well, like, in their defense, you used to be very gross.
Yeah, even grosser than I am now. But yeah,
you're a handsome guy now. You got a toque on. You got a beard that looks very full, by the way.
No, it doesn't.
Well, don't do that.
Look at this. Look at these fucking ant legs.
Don't tilt your head back like an insane person. From the front, it looks nice. But you're holding the microphone. It really covers up the bald patch.
Just going to walk around nicely with this all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, is there anything worse than headphones not being plugged in? Do you think anything's crazier than that? Yes, microphone not plugged in. Way crazier.
Yeah. And you lack the I've never had sex before desperation of 23-year-old Doug.
I might just carry this microphone around in public and just pretend I'm Frank Sinatra. How you guys doing tonight? How you guys doing tonight? Start doing crowd work with people on like
what do you do for a living?
Park bench.
Yeah. Oh, you're taking the bus.
But yeah, so Serena's reasoning of, you know, why I couldn't get a lap dance, she was like, well, imagine how you would feel if, because she was maybe going to a party on the Saturday. She's like, imagine if I went to that party and then gave a guy a lap dance there. That's the exact same thing. And I just kind of let her have it in that moment because it wasn't worth the fight, but it's not the same thing even a little bit, because none of the strippers who give me a lap dance wanted to fuck me. None.
Yeah, that's a not professional capacity.
One of them. And exactly, a professional. She would just be doing it for a love of the grind. Very different.
Nice.
Very different. Yeah,
it would be like if she says she didn't like you getting massages. She's like, what if I went to a party and I just gave a guy a massage?
On his wiener. Like, that's not the same thing.
You know what it's the same thing as? If she went to that party and received a lap dance from a male stripper, which is the funniest thing.
Which honestly, like when she was saying this to me, I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. I would feel uncomfortable if you went to a strip club. But honestly, I wouldn't care.
Well, male strippers are silly.
Yeah, I guess
they're
funnier.
They helicopter their penises. And they have like characters.
No, yeah, that's the thing. No female strippers come out being like, I'm a firefighter. None of them.
Yeah.
None of them. It's all just, I have tits and an ass. Yeah. Those are the things.
It's all just, I'm the green bikini one. And then they just start. And it's like, now time for the pink bikini one.
Also, this, I guess the way strip clubs work in the States, because I always thought they couldn't be bottomless. But if a club is bottomless, they can't serve alcoholic drinks. So we get in there, and one of the guys, he orders two Coronas, and he gets them, and they're like the non-alcoholic Coronas. So we're like, what? And then the lady explains to us that you have to buy a red solo cup from them and then walk to a bar beside them and then get booze put into the red solo cup, and then you can walk back to the strip club.
Oh, so just they're fine with doing that illegally.
Yeah.
And then they can be like, no, he brought that in here himself. We weren't even paying attention.
Yeah. Also, maybe they just lost their liquor license. Maybe this isn't how clubs work. It's just how this club in particular worked.
I would much rather booze and no pussy than no booze and then just seeing a stranger's pussy on stage. That sounds awful.
That's never good. Being at a strip club sober is never good. Did I ever tell you?
No.
Maybe
oh
the
my
worst.
God, no.
The worst moment I ever had at a strip club was years ago with my cousin. We had went to a strip club the night before. So it was like around Christmas, like on the 27th. And then the next day we were also, I was like hanging out with him and he had to go get an oil change. And across from the Mr. Lube or whatever was the fucking Beef Baron. And so my cousin, it's like 11:30 a.m.
Speaking of Tom Segura.
Yeah, it's 11:30 a.m. on December 28th. And my cousin's like, yeah, let's go to the Beef Baron. And we walk in there and it's the saddest environment I've ever been in my life. I've been doing open mic comedy for 10 years. This is the saddest environment I've been in my life.
You said 11:28 like a.m.?
Yeah, 11:30 a.m.
You went to a.m. strip club? I didn't even know there were AM strip clubs.
Neither did I. And as we're sitting there, I get like a soda water because I feel weird not getting a drink.
Did you get a coffee?
I should
have. Eggs Benedict?
I should have got a knife to slit my own throat. But as we're sitting there, there's the day shift lady on stage. And it's not
Carol.
Great. It's not great. No, it's not Carol. She's doing it and...
Do we know a Carol? Is that why you said that?
No, because the name's important. Because at the end of the dance, the voice of God comes over and he's like, give it up for Grace, everybody. And December 28th is my late grandma's birthday, and my grandma's name is Grace. And I was like, I'm never coming to one of these again.
But what a fun way to find out your grandma's still alive, huh? She's stripping at the bear.
Christmas?
He's like, I'm sorry, Doug. I was embarrassed, but I chose stripping over family.
I get more money. More money in stripping.
And more money and also a truckload of dick backing its way up to old Grace's puss. God, you're like, I understand, Grandpa.
Truly horrifying. Truly,
so
truly horrifying.
So you were sober in a strip club. Ladies being like,
I mean, we've been drinking all day.
Stuff. Oh,
and
all
there was also a bar next door that had a sick patio. And, you know, everybody other than me is from Sudbury. They're not going to see a patio again until fucking July, being able to drink on one. So we're all out there, and they had a ping pong table. So honestly, I had way more fun at the ping pong table, just pounding drinks. And then I would just occasionally go back, look at a butthole, and then come back over and play some more ping pong. And
go play ping pong there, go back in, watch the stripper shoot ping pong balls out of her pussy, and then go back and play ping pong at the other place. What?
I've heard all these stories. Like, my mom would tell me about crazy shit that would happen at strip clubs or strippers doing crazy shit.
Why would she do that?
I don't know. But I've never seen anything other than just stripping in a strip club. No one has an act.
I want to watch. I want to watch some athletic shit. I want to go to like Atlanta and watch some athletic stripping. They just like climb up to, they're like in the rafters, like Eddie Vedder.
I think Montreal has those poles where they like literally climb up like 20 feet too. That would be sick. But the only time I've ever seen a stripper do something I thought was legitimately impressive, there was one in London one time who she flipped upside down on the pole and then let go of the pole with her hands. And it was just like slapping her own ass with both hands. Like that was her closer. And I was like,
impressive.
That is a hell of a closer. And I feel bad for anyone who has to go after her. Is how do you follow that?
I know, but there's strippers who do like legitimate feats of impressiveness. And I don't mean like vaginal gymnastics. I'm not talking like biting stuff off and shooting stuff out. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like legitimate acrobatics.
Yeah.
Like feats of strength shit.
Yeah. I've been to strip clubs where the dance is so impressive and I'm just so drunk that I've like started a round of applause after she's done. I was like, fuck it. Give it up for her. She's laying it all out up there.
Yeah. As opposed to in London where it's just a woman taking off her clothes and then six disparate middle-aged Indian businessmen being like, I love you, putting $20 into her hand.
I think that's something that a lot of women don't understand about strip clubs too, is that like for the most part, you're not aroused. You know what I mean? Like, of course you're seeing the things that make you aroused, but it's this weird scenario of like, you're also seeing some of the most horrific looking men you've ever seen. Like, yeah, I'm seeing like a hot naked lady right here. And then across from her, I'm seeing like this weird fat Asian guy who has like these spindly 18 hairs on the top of his head who keeps throwing like 10 ones at once. And it's these just cancel each other out. And now I have no sexual feelings at all.
And you're there with your friends and you're just having thoughts like, man, isn't it weird how everyone here is a gross creep but us?
Except for us fucking eight studs.
I bet they're happy to see us come in because we're such cool, casual guys. Not like all these gross pervs.
It is funny how they literally try and divide and conquer the second you get in the club. Because afterwards, a couple of the guys were talking about how three of them walked in at once. And then immediately three strippers walked over, separated them, and then were having their own conversations with them.
That's
to try and get them to the back room. Which I hate those conversations more than anything in the world. Because the second they got to me and they're like, hey, like they're nice to me, like, hey, I just want to be like, I'm not gonna go on the dance. So I don't want to do this whole thing.
I feel that way about any store I walk into ever. Like you walk in and someone comes up like, hey, are you looking for anything? Like, dude, just let me look around.
I think it's that same kind of attitude that keeps me not getting customer service jobs. So I really don't like the idea of harassing people. I'll help people once they need help, but harassing people the whole time or like following people around, like they would say to do at Walmart sometimes, if like someone's suspicious, you're like supposed to follow them around electronics and shit. I don't want to do that. It's weird. I'm not a private investigator.
I went to a mall I'd never been to in town, and it turned out to be the fucking fancy mall. And all the stores were just like completely empty, with just five people in suits just standing waiting for someone to come in, and so they could just give them like a personal shopper experience. And I was like, I would hate that so much.
Yeah,
I would never be able to handle that shit.
It's this kind of thing that's driving people to online shopping almost exclusively for every part of their life. It's because so many of us, like, you had this fucking pandemic that made an introvert out of every single person in all of Canada. Mm-hmm. And then you have these fucking sales tactics, or you can get it for slightly cheaper online and not leave your house. You're
like, I can save $2.
Decisions.
Not leave at all.
Yeah.
But also, I was pre-pandemic, I was so opposed to the like self-checkout things at grocery stores.
Yeah.
I exclusively go through self-checkout things at grocery stores. I haven't spoken to anyone in a grocery store in years.
It's great. It's great. It's really also nice. Much easier to steal. Much easier to steal.
That's true. If you want to steal, go with Shoppers Drug Mart, because they don't have the scales at their cash registers.
Do you know what they also don't have? And I'm not trying to be mean, but they don't have any sort of intimidating security. Because if I'm at a Shoppers Drug Mart and I look at the security guard and it's like a 5'3" Indian woman who's like 110 pounds, I'm like, the only thing that's keeping you safe at this job is that people would feel bad if they hit you. It's the only thing that keeps you safe. But like, you're going to stop nothing. If anything goes down, you call someone who's an actual security professional, aka a police officer, to come deal with it.
I saw a dude steal. I was very upset. I saw a dude steal last week from the LCBO.
From the LCBO? Damn.
Because there was no security guard there. I don't know if he was on break or if it was just too early in the day.
Okay.
But the guy came in, and right next to the entrance is the champagne. So he just came in, grabbed like three bottles of champagne, and then just left through the entrance door again. And everyone was just looking at each other like, did you see that? Someone should call somebody. And we're all like, I guess. And then we just went about our business. And there was like a middle-aged Asian lady and then a like 20-year-old lady whose race I don't know why I said eight, but it doesn't matter. And she was there.
No, tell me.
She was like half black, and she was at the other one.
Half what, Tim?
Not black. And then the guy came back in. He stole three bottles of champagne, left, and then like less than a minute later, came back in to do it again.
Damn.
And then this 20-year-old just walked over, and she's like, "Or you could just leave. You could just leave. Actually, if you want, you could just leave." And then he turns to her and he goes, I will hit you over the head with this fucking bottle. And she's like,
yeah.
Or you could leave. And then he just took more and then left.
Was she the employee?
Yeah. She was just one of the cash register people.
In what fucking world do you be a hero in that case? If you work at a place like that, that needs a security person, and that security person's not there, then I guess what? It's free pickings for whoever wants to come through that door.
That's the government's champagne.
Yeah, wasn't there a story about someone who like ran into a pizza and just went behind the counter and got a slice, and then the employee tried to follow them and stop them, and then they got the shit kicked out of them? It's like, you're at fucking pizza. Who cares?
So what are you gonna do, a citizen's arrest?
Yeah, it's insane. Also, if someone's walking in like a fucking main character and just doing whatever the fuck they want, do you think they're just gonna like, you're going to make them see reason?
Yeah.
You're going to make the guy who stole three bottles of champagne coming in for round two see the error of his ways.
Yeah.
Like, no, but you're not. You're literally in a store of all weapons. Every bottle in that building is glass. He could fucking kill you a million times over.
There was a dude working there. He was stocking shelves. And after the guy took the champagne and left, the guy just walked over and pulled the back champagnes to the front and then left. And went to go back to what he was doing. I wonder if they, if, because he did stop after she confronted him. He threatened to drastically change her life.
Yep.
And then he left with more champagne, but he didn't come back a third time. And I was like, if she hadn't said anything, would he have just been there all day? Just fucking getting champagne and walking out. Like,
just seeing what he can get away with. I would love if he was just doing,
I've ever been a part of.
I would love if he was just doing all that to open his own like champagne stand right outside the LCBO.
He's got like a lemonade stand outside, but it's champagne. He's got a little fold up table and a little sign he made.
The peas backwards. Like, oh my God, fucking adorable. Yeah, I will get trashed on this.
Yeah. Lemonade 50 or champagne 50 cents. All right.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Self checkouts are, they're great. Just because, well, you know what? There's one thing that's really pissing me off with self-checkouts, and this happened in Walmart today, and it's like I'm standing there, and there's four people in line, and there's only three self-checkouts open, and out of, like, 12. And yeah, it just always makes me so mad. Like, are these fucking robots on break? Like, is this what happened when AI became a is this why everyone's worried about AI? Is because robots are like, nah, I need some fucking time to myself. Robots are starting to smoke or something. Like, it just makes me so mad. It's like, my, just fucking open one of
these. I'm taking my 15. That's really, yeah, what, just turn it on.
Yeah. And I what get it. You, I get their reasoning is probably,
what's the reasoning? What could it possibly be?
It's that they only have one employee watching all of these tills. And so I think it's, if they were to have two employees, they would open a couple more. And if they had a third employee, they would open a couple more. So like at peak times, they have like two or three employees there, and then most of the tills are open. But it's like, at this point, if I work here, guess what? I'm a bad employee. I steal. I'm one of those employees who steals. If you're going to make me fucking cash out, it's just how it goes. Not a lot. I'm not stealing everything. I'm not paying for taco seasoning anymore. I'm not paying for water flavors. If it goes in my pocket and it's just on a shelf.
A shocking amount of bananas. A truly upsetting amount of bananas. Like, to the point where the robot's like, Jesus.
Walmart probably thinks you're a chimpanzee at this point.
Timpanzee.
Nice, Tim.
Thank you. Thank you.
Kids still got it. You're far too kind. Fucking got it.
I had a fun customer service interaction today. Because I was having a problem with my insurance.
Mm-hmm.
I submitted a claim and then they sent me back less money than they were supposed to. And with Manulife, and Manulife just doesn't have a phone number that you can call that will help you. So you have to wait until someone, one of the automated chat people is online. And then I have to talk to them. And they say they're online from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. I got them 5 p.m. yesterday. No one was there. And so I was just all mad, and I got in today.
Damn.
I waited online for a long time, kept refreshing, finally got somebody, and then they go, they're like, oh, yeah, that's actually the correct amount. It says it in this section. I'm like, where does it say that? You show me, because I'm reading the thing that says this. Where does it say that I don't get that $500? And then the person was like, oh, yeah, it's right here. And I'd be like, fuck, okay.
So you didn't get it?
No, I just completely lost all momentum. I was like, fuck, I was wrong. That was my bad on that one. God damn it. Yeah, there's nothing worse than being angry and then being wrong.
Yeah.
And then just but what's great about that is I could just log off. I could just close the window and be like,
yeah, there's no like storming out. You can just be done with it. I've seen a lot of angry and wrong people because I worked that returns desk at Walmart for years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, did I ever tell you about, there was a lady once, I'm like 16, 17.
You're the king of Walmart returns. We'll talk about that after.
But I was standing at the desk, I'm like 16, 17, and a lady comes up with a box of Fruit Loops. She has a receipt and she starts like, she's like, I want to return this. I don't want it. It's too expensive. I found it cheaper somewhere else. And I'm like, I keep trying to say, like, sorry, I can't return it. And she's like, why the fuck not? Why the fuck not? Like, immediately cuts me off screaming, you fucking idiot, you motherfucking, like, all this stuff. And then finally she, like, takes a breath. And I'm like, ma'am, that's a superstore receipt. And this is Walmart. That's why I can't take it back. And she was just like, oh, and then picked it up and just walked out.
Oh, yeah. Just, you're full of righteous anger. And then it becomes unrighteous. And you're like, Well, then never mind.
Yeah, I loved there was one time I remember this old lady bought like a wall clock and she came back to return
fucking
and she's
old
like
ladies with their wall clocks.
Well, no, she was actually pretty nice. She's like, I bought this clock and it's not working. I want to return. This clock's not working the second I bought it. And I picked it up and I just flipped it over and there was an on off switch and I just went bloop. And it just like started audibly ticking. And she's like, well, I feel stupid.
Man, so much of customer service must just be dealing with geezers all day.
Oh, yeah.
Just showing the elderly how to do stuff.
Oh, that's yeah.
That's got to be it. It's just.
It's most of your life, I think, in yeah, customer service.
Geriatrics coming in and being like, my son says that this phone works, but I don't know how. Oh, my God.
I think.
All right,
I think,
well, here's
I
my
think,
day.
I think people who work in, especially like tech support, who have to deal with old people, they should get like a different type of hazard pay that's like hazard of killing yourself pay because of how infuriating it is to try and explain something to someone who wants you to fix the problem but doesn't want to grow their own knowledge about how the product is used at all. They just want it to be fixed and they don't understand how to do any of the tips. If you're like explaining to someone's computer and you're like, you go to the start, hit start, and they're like looking at the keyboard and you're like, oh my God, it's been a long day.
Day. This is the whole fucking day now. I had a weird thing. There's a local guy in my neighborhood. He's not a homeless. He like has a home, but he just walks around hunched all day. He's got like a varsity jacket and jeans and he just like yells and he's troubled. He's a local troubled man.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow I'm pretty sure he knows my name.
What?
Yeah, I was walking out of the grocery store and he was just sitting outside and I'm pretty sure he was like, Timmy. I just tried my best to act
what
like
fuck?
I don't. And now I'm afraid of him because he has like the basic amount of knowledge of me that he can do nothing with other than say my own name to me. But I'm so afraid he will do that I now like cut through the park to avoid him. And I'm like afraid to grocery shop a little bit.
Damn. Do you think that's the most afraid you've been of your own name before?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when else?
Normally, I'm pretty cool with my own name. Normally, I'm like, people say Tim. I'm like, yes. But now I'm like, I'm so nervous because I don't buy him things. He just waits outside stores and he'll be like, hey, can you get me something in there? And then I go, no. Because I got him something once and he was kind of a dick about it. So.
What did you get him? What did he do?
I was going into Shoppers and he was like, hey, can you buy me something? I was like, all right, yeah, what do you want? And he's like, can you just get me like a bag of Doritos? I was like, all right, sure. And so I went in, did my stuff, got him the bag of the Doritos, came out, and then I was like, here you go. And he didn't look at me. He was sitting down. He just like reached up and took them. And then I was like, well,
what the fuck?
I feel, and it's one of those where I'm not sure if it makes me more of a piece of shit to never buy him anything again, or that I had the thought of a thank you would be nice, local mentally ill man who needs people to buy him food.
Who might just be so fucking delirious from a lack of food that he's like,
yeah, but,
can barely function.
But instead I'm like, how about you tell me I'm a great person?
But I mean, he did.
How about
you
write
me
a letter like an African child?
He robbed you of the transaction because the transaction is you're doing a nice thing for him. And the nice thing he does for you is treat you like this is the thing that's going to save his life. Like that bag of chips is going to be the thing that gets him back on the straight and narrow and gets him back housed and in it with a job.
Yeah. He just opens the bag, eats a chip and he's like, you know, maybe I will call my son. Like just really turn his life around. Like, I'm so glad
these are so much better than heroin.
Yeah. Now that I have these chips, I'll no longer be smoking crack today. Thanks, local kind stranger.
You go back a week later, he's just asking for chips, but he's just much fatter. Getting your kale chips, buddy. We got to right this ship.
Can you buy me some heroin? Fucking tired. No, I don't know. I feel bad about that. That I'm like, feel like he was ungrateful to me for my charity, so I refuse to buy him anything else. And now I think he knows my name.
I feel bad not being able to get, you know, to help out homeless people at all. But I'm also so poor that if I were to give even a homeless person $5, that's just a transfer of wealth. And now they're just doing better than me.
Yeah. And then you have to ask them for the $5 and they give it back. And now you're stuck here forever.
Endless cycle.
That's a perpetual motion machine.
That's renewable energy. Actually, it's just me and a homeless person handing a $5 bill back and forth. It's going to power the world.
Yeah, man. Did you get up to anything else in Florida?
Honestly, I think that was the extent of it. Just like drinking our faces off. And
that's awesome. No,
actually, you know what? We did go to, because after Segura, Nick wanted to go clubbing, right? Because we hadn't been clubbing yet. And we always love doing that. So half the guys went home because we had to fly out the next day. And I do love to dance. And half the guys went to this club called The Castle in Florida.
Good name for it.
And yeah, it's an all ages club, which is weird. Well, not all ages. It's like 18 plus.
Don't love that.
Because like they're all
don't like that one bit.
Yeah, very strange.
Why are you going to an all ages club?
Because we didn't know.
In Florida, Douglas.
But anyways, the one guy had picked it, this guy Brendan, because it's like kind of a gothy place. And
Brendan.
Like, he's the most goth out of his friends. He's got like face piercings.
If there's one thing goths love, it's high school girls. So that's perfect.
But yeah, we go to this club called The Castle. Everyone has like the most ridiculous get-ups I've ever seen. We get inside. It's crazy how it's done up. Like it's like kind of like it looks like Baltimore House in Hamilton back in the day. It's like kind of like a hipstery, but it's got a castle vibe to it. But it also has it had like this whipping area where girls were like lined up. And there's like all these paddles and stuff. And there was like, I don't know if there was like a whip master, like one guy who did it, or if it was like a rotating cast of perverts, but girls would go in there and get their asses smacked. And I was just like,
girls of all ages.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? We were only there for like 20 to 25 minutes. Cause when we were going in, Nick noticed that none of us got frisked. Not one of us got patted down. There's no security like doing anything
like
that. Maybe
you seem like good guys.
And then about 20 minutes after we got there, he saw a guy just in like a full balaclava, just like face covered. And he's just immediately started thinking like, everyone here could have a knife. Everyone here could have so many fucking weapons.
Yeah, that's cop stuff. Good for him. Yeah.
And it was still like fucking 2 a.m. So we're like, we have to fly out early. We got to get
out. And you were like, no, Nick, I'm having fun at all ages spank night. I don't want to go to the hotel. I don't care if I get stabbed. Did you try to get spanked?
No, I just watched for a bit. And then I felt weird, so I walked away.
I had one night at Jack's in London. They had like a hot tub in the back for some. It was some theme night.
Yeah.
And then a lot of. So, like, you know, the thing is girls or male members of the Jack's staff who were not on shift that night would go in the hot tub. And it would just be like, girls would be like, ew, hot tub. And then just like strip down to their underwear and get in the hot tub. And we were sort of sitting near the hot tub, like, the hot tub rules. Jack's is the shit. We love this place. And then I look over at my buddy and he just hands our other friend all of his clothes neatly folded into a pile with his shoes on top.
Oh.
And then he goes and he gets in the hot tub.
No.
With all these people. And security just immediately over like, no, you gotta go. Absolutely.
Oh my god. Did they like pull him out or were they just like, come on?
Yeah, it was more of like a nah, come on. No.
So like did he have to go to the bathroom and just like paper towel off and then put his clothes back on or
no, I think he just put his clothes on and went home wet. Like,
oh my god.
It was just, they're like, nah. Come on. This is for hot ladies and guys we know.
that would make me never go back to Jax ever if that had happened.
Well, he was
to me
blackout
there.
Drunk. Well, I'm never going back to Jax because what happened to us? We got bullied by that child.
Oh, yeah. Girl was mean to us. You know, girls love being mean to me. It's kind of their MO. I think it's because I'm so big, but I'm also don't look that threatening. Or at least I used to not look that threatening.
I think they're afraid of your sexual power.
Now,
that's my guess. Yeah. I think they're like, I'm worried that this guy won't want to fuck me. And that scares me because I want to fuck him so much. So I'm going to go be mean to him. I'm going to go grind on him and his friend and then go back to my friends and laugh about it.
I wish I would have learned earlier in life that, you know, I probably could have got a hot girl to sleep with me if I just acted completely not interested. Because I think it would have like shattered their self-esteem enough to be like, this fucking uggo doesn't want to fuck me. Like,
remember
what?
That time that hot girl did want to sleep with you and then you were too oblivious, so you went home?
What time, Tim?
Oh, yeah,
what
multiple
time?
Times. Yeah, so yeah. You could have had sex with a hot lady if only you'd open your goddamn eyes.
God, yeah,
and
I was
not
very...
been like, well, the one time is funnier than the other one. The one time when you just went home and then you got home, you were like, oh, fuck. Like, it just clued into you. And the other time is when you went home to go tell your friends how this lady wanted to fuck you instead of actually fucking her.
Yeah.
That's the funniest one.
And when I was like,
I can't wait to tell all my friends.
That was the part that like truly hurt. Cause I was so excited on the walk home. Like, I fucking killed this day, dude. I'm so good at this. It's amazing.
Oh,
this could not have went better. No thing could have happened to make this better. And I get home and my guys are like, well, did the thing happen that could have made it better? And I was like, fuck, man.
I forgot that was an option.
Yeah,
I thought this was
never
best
been.
Case scenario.
I thought best case scenario was she wasn't horrified by me.
Yeah. Oh.
God. Tug. Life, eh?
Yeah. And now you're out here just swinging dick across that great Jaceman of yours and just, you know, the big sack of love of Hamilton, Ontario, Doug Koning.
Yeah, just keep going, man. You'll find
it. No, I'm not going to find it. I don't want to find it. I'm afraid of what I'll find. I, too, am afraid of your sexual power.
It's a lot, man.
It seems like a lot.
Well, I could not to toot my own horn, but I did a lot of theoretical study before I could actually get my hands on.
Don't worry. That's not tooting your horn.
Don't worry, man. No one thinks
that's brandy. You don't have to worry about that. No one's going to be like, oh, that is cool.
Dude, those,
all right.
I've never been more frustrated by something I read other than probably The Cursed Child, like that Harry Potter play. Because when I finished like the second book about the female orgasm and the second book ended with every girl's different. Listen to her body. Like, it just made me so mad. Cause I'm like, borderline autistic. Like, I can't listen to bodies.
You legitimately treated sex like you treated stand-up. Before you ever did it, you were like, I've got an hour of material. I don't know which five I want to throw out the first time, but I know it's all going to crush.
And then I go on stage and I got three seconds I can perform.
I got three and everyone's just going to be laughing at my penis the whole time. So I don't really understand. I think we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something funny happened at the mic tonight. I wanted to tell you.
Yeah.
Found out the two comics are dating each other. And when comics are dating each other, they don't like to admit it because it's fucking gross.
Yeah.
So they like to keep it a secret. And we all found out that these two are dating because they went up separately at this mic and each did a joke about how they're dating someone. And with that person they are dating, they did cocaine and watched the Taylor Swift Eras Tour movie.
See, like, this is an issue
just
with
did it separately.
That's an issue with dating a comic is if you have a scenario where you have like a unique story happen, only one of you gets to talk about it. We don't.
Yeah.
We barely wanted to hear about that story once, let alone twice. Like, it's fucking boring. It's just boring. Like, don't tell me, I don't need it from a different perspective. Like, this isn't like insightful. I'm not getting like, you know, I'm not gleaming more from this experience.
And it's great. And they all, they're both afraid of like talking about cheating on their spouse. And they have, and they both need to be like, I would never do that. I don't.
Like on stage, they have to like reassure their significant other.
And reassure the room that they're not like being mean to their significant other when they do bits about them. It's very funny.
I legitimately would never, ever, ever want to date a comic because I just know there would be a scenario where I would do something stupid and they would make a joke about it. And even if the joke wasn't good, people would laugh at just how stupid I fucking was in that scenario and be like, now I'm getting bullied via this person.
Yeah. Also because you'd probably, I don't know, be more laugh-addable than them.
Oh, for sure.
You know? No one wants to laugh at a female comic. That feels rude. They go through enough.
Well, they don't want to laugh at. They'll laugh with if they're performing. But
No, that's not what I mean. But you can't make fun of them. That's like hack.
Yeah.
It's not cool. But you can always make fun of a fat guy. Forever until the end of time, you'll be able to make fun of a fat guy. Yeah. Well, thus concludes this episode of Making Fun of Two Fat Guys.
Thank you for joining us for episode 111 of Best Worst Friends.
You doing anything this week? You got plugs? You doing anything?
Actually, you know what? I just added a show today. I'm going to be at Comedy Bar at 11 p.m. on Saturday.
No, no shit. All right, I'll come say hi.
I think it's Superstars of Comedy. I can't. I'm not sure. It's Pat McDonald's show good. At 11. So
nice. Can you get me a comp? I'd love to go for free.
You can just walk in.
All right. I'll wait till it starts and then I'll walk in. I'm at Absolute tomorrow, the 20th.
Fuck yeah.
Amateur night.
Dude, I haven't done Absolute in so long. I fucking love that club. Club's insane.
It'll put some wind in your sails for sure.
That's what it's there for. You know what I think Absolute is? I think Absolute is the closest Canadian comics get to performing in the States. Because I've heard the clubs are all awesome and people are so supportive and nice and everything, and it's so funny how like there used to be a booker of a festival or of a club who wouldn't accept videos from Absolute because they were, it's like everybody crowds kills it Absolute hot. It's like it's what we're supposed to be fucking doing. They're supposed to like us. They're supposed to be laughing hard.
And then next Tuesday I'm in Brantford with Kev Sheeler. I don't remember where.
Probably Bramsterdam.
Oh god, is it Bramsterdam?
Yeah, probably.
Fuck.
Yeah, God, get names. It. Get names from Kev before you agree to shit.
Ah. Fuck. Hate that
place. Go see Tim possibly get arrested.
You're going to have to stand outside because I can't get high and then drive
home. No, it's a new location and they haven't started smoking weed yet inside, so you're good.
All right. That's good.
You're all good.
Well, in that case, I'm just going to go have a bad comedy set.
Oh, yeah. It'll be bad. It'll be bad for sure. But, guys, that's the podcast. I hope you didn't think it was bad. Goodbye. We love you. Goodbye. Goodbye.